Luke 1, I'm going to start with 26 and read down through 33. This is the story of Jesus' birth. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." From Nazareth in Galilee to the throne of David, to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end, and he will be called Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High. Let's talk about Jesus. As the song says, and it's 199 in the Blue Book, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Oh, blessed eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Eight names associated with Jesus, just in that one refrain. Stop and think a minute about how many names, when you think of Jesus, do you come up with? What names do you associate with Jesus Christ? I'm going to go through a few of those today. We have a plaque that hangs on the wall by our front door. And it has names associated with Jesus. Write down a list, and there's 44 of them. You may have that plaque, I don't know. But there's 44 of them with a verse for each one. So I figure with 44 of them, I probably can't spend over 3 or 4 minutes with each one. Do the math. We'll be out of here by 2. And you can blame Shirley because she suggested this to me for the talk. So it's all on her. Okay. Now I'm just going to pick a few of them here and we'll talk about it. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, we read, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Those of you who know that verse from the King James know that instead of holiness, it uses sanctification. The word sanctification. Wisdom from God, righteousness, holiness, sanctification, or redemption. Wisdom from God. Do you think about Jesus Christ and associate that with wisdom from God? Why is that? Why is Jesus wisdom from God? That's what he brought to us, isn't it? Didn't he bring to us wisdom of God, the wisdom of God? Wisdom is defined as the knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with good judgment. The knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with good judgment. Don't we use good judgment to do what's right? And don't we use the word of God to determine what that is? And didn't Jesus Christ bring that word to us? Resist the devil and he'll flee from us, right? In the word. One of the things we have to do to obtain righteousness. Jesus Christ, wisdom from God. The next word is righteousness. Morally upright. If you are righteous, you are morally upright, virtuous, acting in an upright moral way. Jesus Christ, the perfect righteous example. The next word in the NIV is holiness. In the King James, it's sanctification. One of the definitions of the word to sanctify is to make holy. So it's pretty much all the same. To make holy. The definition, some of the definitions of holy is dedicated to the service of God. Godly, pious, devout. And then we have redemption. One of the definitions is the paying off of an obligation. Dan spoke about that this morning in the Lord's table. About paying the price. Redemption. Theological definition is deliverance from sin. Jesus Christ paid the price to deliver us from sin. The wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Go to Romans 9. Verses 32 and 33. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The context of this passage is the fact that the Jews couldn't let the law of Moses go. They wanted to maintain the works of the law. They wanted to maintain those merits of those works rather than embrace the church. And it's written in here the words stumbling stone. I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble. How many times when you think of Jesus do you think of a stumbling stone? Probably more than a lot of them, but not often, maybe. I think we can all agree here this is a reference to Jesus Christ. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Jesus Christ, the stumbling stone to the Jews in this passage, because they couldn't get over the law of Moses and the works of the law. How is he a stumbling stone to us? We can't cling to sin as the Jews clung to the law. We have to resist the devil and he will flee from us. If we cling to sin, if we cling to the things that pull us away, then Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to us. Revelation 22, verse 12. No, I'm sorry. Verse 16. Revelation 22 and 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The root and offspring of David. If you go back to Isaiah 10th chapter, verses 1 and verse 10, it talks about the stem of the root of Jesse. So that's foretold in Isaiah about Jesus Christ. The root and offspring of David. I'm going to go on here to the bright morning star. I'm not going to dwell on this. I want to talk about the bright morning star. Picture the bright morning. The bright morning star. What does that bring to us? Our son Steve has always, more so now, but has always talked about getting up early and seeing the dawn, seeing the sunrise. He says it's calm. He says it's quiet. He says it's refreshing. The refreshing new day coming. Stop and think a minute out there. How many of you are morning people? How many of you are not morning people? I'm with you. I'm not a morning person. Never have been. When I was going to work, I would drive to work during the sunrise. And I'm sad to say, now that I've stopped and thought about it, I should have appreciated it more. I should have appreciated those sunrises. I remember going through South Carolina one time, and it was in the daytime, this early, it was not early morning probably, but the sun was shining brightly down in a valley, and there were some houses back in there, and you'd look up on out to the west, and the sun was shining. It was gorgeous, just beautiful. You couldn't help but think there had to be a creator from seeing that scene. Well, how many of those scenes could you see, like, in the morning? In the refreshing new day. The bright morning star. What does morning bring to us? Stop and think what morning brings to you. Comforting light from the dark? Doesn't the morning bring daylight, which is a comfort from the dark? The refreshing start of a new day. A new day to serve God. Jesus is the morning star. He brought light from dark. What's light? What light are we talking about here? The Word of God. If you read the book of Ephesians, Paul tells the Ephesians, you were once darkness. Now you are light. Walk as children of light. You know the word now. Live like you know it. Walk as children of light. Jesus Christ brought salvation. He brought the word of God. A refreshing new day. The church. A refreshing new day. A new dispensation. He brought the church, and that is salvation. That song I keep leading, that I, apparently the parts are pretty hard, but it's everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, and who does the song say Jesus is? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. John 3 and 2. This is Nicodemus coming to Jesus and talking to him, and he says he came, and the scripture says he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. So Nicodemus looks at Jesus and says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. Rabbi, teacher. There's a little interesting aside to this, just surely in my experience. Those of you who go to Branson, are familiar with the Sight and Sound Theater, and they have, plays, musicals depicting biblical characters. The last one we went down and saw was Jesus. And this scene of Jesus talking to Nicodemus was in that play. And Nicodemus and Jesus were out on the stage, they were talking. And they completely skipped the verse here in the fifth verse about baptism. In John 3 and 5, Jesus said, except thou be born of water and the Spirit, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And that little scene there in that depiction of Jesus' life, it skipped that completely. Because I was looking for it. And it didn't happen. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, some of the portrayals? But keep in mind here, Nicodemus in this passage says, we know you are a teacher who comes from God. And he calls him rabbi. If you look up the term rabbi definition, some of the definitions are my master, my teacher. Jesus Christ, rabbi, teacher. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, and overseer of your souls. You look at the King James, it's bishop. Shepherd and bishop of your souls. NIV says shepherd and overseer. What does a shepherd do? Provides for the needs of the flock, right? Shepherd provides for the needs of the flock. What are the needs of the flock? We're the flock. When it comes to Jesus, we're the flock. What do we need? Jesus is going to provide it for us. We need instruction. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. We need a guide. We need the word of God. And Jesus brought that to us. He herds the flock in the right direction through the word of God. Overseer or bishop keeps the flock from straying and brings the flock back when they do. Basically the same. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, keeps us from straying. And if we do stray, it tells us how to come back. 1 John 2:1. If you read that in the King James, it says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. If anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. NIV says, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. King James uses the word advocate. If you look up the word advocate, it says a person who pleads for or in behalf of another. An intercessor. One who pleads in favor of. We probably don't. Do you think of the word advocate when you, we probably are from, when, now that the verse has been brought to our attention, we're probably familiar with it maybe, but do you think of the word advocate when you think of Jesus Christ? I don't much. I probably will now, but I haven't thought of the word advocate. Once I read this verse, I've read it several times, not that unfamiliar with it. But when I think of Jesus Christ, the word advocate is not one of the words that comes up, but it might be now. One who pleads in our behalf, and we have scripture that says, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Of Christ Jesus, our hope. Do we live looking forward to that hope? Do we live looking forward to where we're going? Do we live thinking about why we have that hope? Another name for Jesus Christ, our hope. We have a tendency to lose track of where we're going. If we think more about Jesus, maybe we'll remember to stay on that track. Maybe we'll remember to think about where we're going, because didn't he bring us the way? Isn't he called the way? He brought us the way to salvation. I've mentioned several names for Jesus from the scriptures. I mentioned that plaque has a whole list of them, and there's a scripture for each one. These include, that I've mentioned, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, stumbling stone, root, offspring, bright and morning star, teacher, rabbi, shepherd, overseer, advocate, hope. Names associated with Jesus Christ. How many are there in the scriptures? Lots more. Lots more. Cornerstone, true vine, sower of good seed, our peace, Emmanuel, bridegroom. Those might be some you don't ordinarily associate with Jesus every day, every time you think of him, is what I'd rather say. More familiar, Messiah, Word of God, Light of the world, Lamb of God, Savior, Resurrection, Way, Truth, Life, Door, Son of God. I hope to have given you more reason to think of Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll think of a word here now that brings up his name. And we'll think about him more and more. Jesus Christ brought us the Word of God. I like the term advocate. I like the term hope. I like the term peace. Advocate's the word that stood out to me this time. I'll think about that more when I think about Jesus Christ, the word advocate. He is our hope. He is our peace. We need to be reminded of our Savior because he made our hope possible. We know that he brought salvation. We know that we have to do what's instructed in that word. We have to live our life in a sinful world. And we have to remember our Savior. We have to remember that he brought us that salvation. We have to remember that we have to obey that word. Not lose sight of where we're going, but follow the instruction in the word that Jesus Christ gave us. One of the instructions in that word, John 3:5, says, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. We need to be baptized. We know that. We need to make right whatever we have done wrong in the congregation here. We need to come forward if we want to be members of the church, to be baptized into his kingdom, or if there's any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.